Donna Brian Stocks, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon.
How's your kids?
The kids are
Children?
excellent, and the
Oh,
children are even better.
they're even better.
Yes,
That
please.
is great. But I wanted to know something. Boy, when they call the van for the people when they find out that they got COVID, why they stay so long? I mean, people could die before they come. I know a neighbor that they had it, and it was coming for them from 7 o'clock in the morning. And you know what time they get down to Harrison Point? They get
What
down to
time?
Harrison Point at 2 o'clock the next day.
Wait, or watch this. How many vans are there designed to
I
take
don't
people
know how
with
much
COVID?
they are.
Aha, okay, let's work it out. I don't know either, actually. But let me say they have one van, just for argument's sake. And you are driving the van. You are now the driver. Okay, I am the commenter. I'm the armchair expert here. You
Yay.
call the van. You're the driver. I call the van. I live in Christchurch. I say, well, I got somebody here. Somebody in St. Lucie call. Somebody in St. Philip call. What happens? Can we pick up everyone at the same time? Can
No,
you
you
use the
can't.
driver? Right. So sometimes we gotta put those things into consideration. What we may need is more resources,
That's
more
what I'm
van,
about
more
to do
training,
is.
more retrofitting. Because sometimes by moving slow, we can make the situation even worse. But at the
Right,
same time, we have to
exactly.
work with what we have. And that's why I like to both side things. And sometimes I get people annoyed. They want to come down on one side. But we have to look at all the things. Yes, we need to move faster. But yes, at the same time, we got to recognize these resources. Because I sure that van doing kilometers on the road and it going back and forth and it got this to check and this and that and it going all over the place. But at the same time, we recognize that if we're on a wartime footing and we need more tanks and we need more ammunition, that we need to do to ensure that we get people off the army base into isolation as soon as possible.
So then you should get more than one because you know many
Correct.
people
No,
getting
no.
sick.
Correct, correct. No, I ain't saying they got one, ma'am. I use one for argument's sake. They may have two or
Oh,
three. I let you, I don't have a clue
have an
how many
idea
they
how
don't
many
have a
there.
clue, but from what I see, I just see like one, unless they have identical ones. I only see one that I know. I will look at the license plate number next time I see it and see if there are multiple vans. And again, I will leave that for the persons in the know to come to us and say there are X amount of vans, or there's only one van, or this driver, or because of training, or
I
because of
tell you,
resources, or because of retrofitting, because I don't think they use any and every vehicle for it. They probably have to be retrofitted or so on. But again, that's a call for the authorities to say to us, listen, what is the position you as a caller, you have a concern, and I hope that you stay tuned, and by the end, hopefully that we can have some
something
response to your
better
concern. Yes, please.
because truly like them to. See if they could do something about that. Because that day, if you used to live and that day happening, you would die before you live. And it wouldn't be really a good option.
All right, no,
You understand what I
excellent.
mean?
I know I fully understand, and again, I ask that the authorities, the people in the know, as we will say, come to the forum, come to the front of the line, and inform people like yourself and all those who are concerned about this in terms of the timeliness of
Yay.
isolation. So I want to thank you for your call. Again, I want to apologize to the person sending WhatsApp, been unable to get on that, but I'll read some that are reaching me directly. And this one says, many people are experiencing anxiety, depression, and other mental health concerns at this time. Private mental health workers are booked out until May in some cases. Those who cannot afford private care are particularly vulnerable. What measures are being put in place to assist people? Now, using my own limited knowledge at this time on that, I can say I know that there are community health nurses. And you can probably reach out to the psychiatric hospital. There's a crisis hotline that you can look up. I'll probably look up and make sure that it is still up and running and you can call. And I know that the Ministry of People's Empowerment have the hotline 536 HOPE. I'm gonna double check on that number, but 536 HOPE is there for persons who were, you know, feeling away and feeling a hole, as we say sometimes, that they can reach out and kind of get some kind of assistance, you know, tangible assistance, but also counseling and these other things will be made available. Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. As we went to the break, I continue to do the people's work. I was speaking to the committee responsible for the care packages, because on air and off air, I'm getting a lot of questions. And for me, I like credible information. I believe that the Anon View 3 would appreciate credible information that can bring calm and clarity, as opposed to fake news and panic and confusion. So I would like to report what I have learned while off air in relation to the care packages. Now, initially, the idea was to have the registration and people go. But like a lot of these projects, after you open a phone line in a call center, you can quickly recognize that your plan and the reality on the ground is a little different. So you have to make adaptations. You have to adjust. You have to reform. And that has been done a number of times. And basically what the Barbados Defense Force, who've taken lead on this, are doing, are really going house to house. For me, it would be to appeal to those of you who have written to me and say, listen, I got and I didn't need. They're doing foolishness. Some may argue you are doing foolishness. If you do not need, I would appeal for you not to take. What is also heartwarming and being reported to me, that they've given me specific cases and then generalizations of what has been happening out there. What seemed to be happening is some people took and thought at first they did not need, and then recognized within a few days they did need. What has been happening is people took, did not need, and pass it on to others. And that is one of the other things that seem to be happening there. Those of you who've been missed, they've tell you, look, just hang in there. This is a mammoth operation and they will get to you. The other thing is, in the operation in the field, is really not to stick up, not to go ID card by ID card anymore, but really to get to those in the most need. It's been reported that they've covered the densely populated areas for the most part. And of course, the countryside now, although it have less houses, they actually is taking a lot longer because the houses are more spaced out. But the authorities are asking for little patience and bear with them as they try to get to each of you. So again, I want to appeal to persons waiting for the care package. If you haven't received the care package and the persons, you've seen the vehicles in your area and they miss you for whatever reason, that's the only reason I would actually encourage you now to use the call center to reach out and let someone know. Someone actually wrote to me via WhatsApp, again, directly. And they were saying to me that they live in or off the road. So they were actually concerned that the vehicle would miss them. They would have said, hi, Corey, my name is, and they gave the name. I live in Grace Bank Station Hill, located on the back of a compound. So I will not see or hear when the trucks or the care package are passing. Again, remember, I started the program about looking out for each other. So I would advise that person and others in that situation to speak to the neighbors who live on the front road, who may be able to, you know, yell for you or call you or shout out for you, to alert you that the things are out there. I know you could use the horn, special things, but for me, that word of mouth, neighborliness, can come in very, very, very useful in times like these. So I am satisfied speaking to the committee and those in authority that, you know, is that hard work, is that overwhelming request coming in that sometimes make these things almost impossible. The other thing I'm happy to hear is the data gather. The data is like gold. When you have these operations, what they allow you to do by taking the data is to be able to make better decisions, called evidence-based decisions. So you're not making gut-based decisions or loud minorities based on public forum decisions, but evidence-based decisions. So that is just my update on the care packages, and I hope that that bears to bring some clarity, some calm, and some credible news to those of you listening that like to listen to that side of it. Some people, they would always like the other end, the salacious end, but there's some of you there who appreciate, on fake news, if I could try to be as a Trumpian or non-Trumpian as possible. 8 minutes before one, you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. One more thing that came in was the idea of the stigma and the persons who are there feeling depressed and so on. I mentioned the psychiatric hospital, and one of the things that I learned all back in 2001 as a partial master is that the stigma related to mental health and the psychiatric hospital is enormous. Anybody having to deal with mental health, there's a stigma, this body mad, this body crazy, this body less than. A lot of us will experience some type of mental challenge as we go through, even if it is extreme sadness. And I could appeal all I want, but I know I can't change cultures overnight. But I would ask people who need that type of assistance to reach out to family members, to friends, and all these different things. And we must have more discussion and, more importantly, movement on our psyche and thought towards the psyche and thought towards mental health. Let me say welcome back to or welcome to the program to our next caller. This is Dr. Brass Stats, and you are on the air.
Hi, Corey. Hi, Kimar Safri here. Welcome back to you too. I
Hi.
haven't heard you in a while.
Yes, please. I got a show here and there, and it all works out.
We would love to hear you more. We'd love to hear you more.
Okay. We'll see what we can do about that in the back end. But nonetheless, how may we help you today?
Just wanted to. I know persons were concerned, the general public at large were concerned about the organization, the Bobby Solange and homelessness when we would have faced our case of COVID.
Indeed,
So,
indeed.
Just letting person know. First of all, we want to thank Barbadian for stepping in, for helping, for the many calls. We were able to contain the situation, and we were able to bring the shelter back to opening on Monday, which would have been good. I must say the Dr. Anton Best and the medical team really came in quickly and helped with the situation so that we could have been tested. One of the things that we were thankful, and also the testimony of the fact that we have been following the protocol and the homeless at the homeless shelter here, is that while we did have a case inside the building, we were all masked up. We were sanitizing the building on a regular basis. We were keeping the clients at a safe distance. We had our bed at a beds at very between the 6 feet that they would need to. We also instituted a head up, head down kind of policy in the building. And so that actually kept all of us safe, because every single one of us that was in the building, that other than that particular positive case, was negative. And that is really good, because it was not a case that he caught COVID inside the building, but he came in the building with COVID. So at the end of the day, it just goes to show that the protocols that we've put in place was really good. And the Also, there were a number of other feeding groups that went out to make sure that they kept the homeless fed, and that they were, assisted wherever possible. And that when we opened our door, we started back, with a bang, and start to get everything going again for them.
I want to highlight some things coming out of your contribution just now, and that is that contact doesn't mean contamination. And I remember hearing the doctors saying that because you came into contact doesn't mean that you would get COVID. Once you do the right things, the washing of the hands, the sanitizing, the distancing, and importantly, the mask wearing, that some people are still not sold on, but the mask wearing, the proper mask wearing, I must say proper mask wearing, because I know some
Correct.
people actually wear it on their chin to protect their chin from COVID. I will let them explain that, but the whole idea is that contact and doing the right thing would have, as you said, it would have contained it to one and only one. So I'm happy to hear that none of the homeless persons in the shelter nor the staff were actually affected. The other thing is, and you would, I would, I would get, again, I would just raise this to give you the opportunity to explain, is the type of support. I have a friend within the ministry, and she said to me the mobilization around this and other similar instances within the ministry, for her, who've worked in the ministry for a long time, was very, very heartwarming. She said that she even saw from the minister across actually getting involved, Minister Cynthia, for a lot of times, you know, we share lashes, but we don't get opportunity to share prayers. But actually involve, like, making sure that meals were going and that the staff, all the drivers, the messenger, everybody just kind of put their shoulder to the plow beyond the working hours to ensure that, you know, things were up to scratch. What was your experience in that?
Yeah, from time we initiated the calls, when we found when they was informed by the Ministry of Health that there was a positive case among a homeless person, and they did not know the person was in here though. They knew that the person went to get tests, and then, funny enough, the person was in the building at the time. Once we initiated that call, I got a call from Minister Bostic, I got a call from Minister Cynthia Ford, Minister Cynthia Bradshaw. I got several calls from the Prime Minister, several texts from her as well, asking them what is going on, how can we deal with this situation, how can we help. Dr. Anton Best came to the building himself personally with a number of team from the COVID unit, from the environmental unit. Also, those we got the tests done at the building, so they mobilized fast. I mean, it was real quick how they got here, started to put things in place. The Royal Barbados Police Force even came in and assisted in making sure there's order, because, you know, after telling a number of people that somebody here positive, it could cause a panic and stuff like that. But the guys handled it pretty well. But they came in, the Ministry of People's Empowerment stepped in to make sure that, well, we, including myself, for the general public that wanted to know, including myself and my staff, went into quarantine, that the homeless here was continuously fed, they were continuously taken care of. And the ministry and all the relevant persons stepped in. Prime Minister was messaging me up to 12 o'clock in the night saying, Saf, are you good? How is your family? How is everybody? And so they accommodated us. They made sure that we were able to get back the results quickly and be able to come back out to work, because obviously we need to continuously serving those inside the building, but also those outside of the building. And the other thing was the Street Link group, which is a feeding group, about 15 different feeders. All made sure, including Salvation Army and Street Land Ministries, all came out, Rotary Club, and fed on a daily basis to make sure that the homeless were still kept while we were out. And this is something that they do every week, but, you know, they really stepped up more and more and more. So we were happy for that. I must say that the way how it was handled, very professional, very good. I just had to stay home in a room, you know, getting the calls from the team asking, how you doing? How's your family? Everybody good? And so they were, I must say, I was rather impressed with the handling of the situation by the government. And as I said, from as much as the Prime Minister backed down, everybody chipped in and made sure that the homeless were very comfortable while we went through this process. So I must say thank you publicly to all of them.
Okay, excellent. One of the last things I heard on the situation, though, you had expressed concern that some persons were there and would have left before you would have been able to stop them or get them tested or so on. What is the update on that issue?
Yeah, so before we found out about this positive case in the building, some persons, again, not everybody, you know, while I was at home for 7 days and I felt the blunt of standing inside, just know that they were also feeling the blunt of staying inside as well. And some could not cope with it and they left early, just about, I think it was about four to six persons. The police was instrumental in getting some of those persons to go get tests. And we were also working with the other feeders to make sure that they tell them, if they see them, go and get tests. As far as I'm concerned, most of them, if not all of them, but, you know, would have gone and get tested. I still have to await one or two persons that I've not seen. But for the most part, they have complied. And they've gotten tests, and one or two of them also got tests when the testing group came here. They came here and got tested as well, in along with the staff and the ones that were sleeping in. So I must say it's still good. We haven't heard of any other positive case, and we're still keeping an eye out for what is going on. We've asked all the feeding groups to be careful, to just make sure that they're sanitized, but we've also recommended that all the feeding groups are on the street, that they we're only making recommendation, we are not law, that they find a location, Salvation Army and Calvary Moravian Church in Bridgetown and Robert Street agree to give their facility up for feedings so that you can control, it could be in a much controlled environment rather than just doing it in Hewer Square, so that, you know, other places where people may go, so they don't be jumping up and stuff like that. They'll be sanitized, they'll be temperature checked, and they'll have to hold 6 feet apart. So these are things that we are constantly putting in place to keep them safe and keep the general public safe as well.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for that update and the work that you guys are doing with the what the Bible called the least among us, which I have my little concern with. I think we are all equal, but I guess how society attributes value to us, because there but for the grace of God go I. And I try to remember and remind people that all the time. You know, today for me, tomorrow for you. 2 minutes after 1 o'clock. Brass Stats, good afternoon, you are here.
Hey, good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, I want to extend and express heartfelt condolences and sympathy to the families and relatives and friends of the child that passed, and also the nurse. I left that there. I don't know what I'm going to send us the news. I can only relate to what I saw on my television screen. The death toll in the USA have dropped from over 4,000 deaths a day to just over 1,000 deaths a day since President Biden came to office. Also, the vaccine, I don't know which type of vaccines they have been using, appear to be working. Now, I said I'm not going to take the vaccine. I never tell anybody, don't take it. I will have to take the advice of my medical doctor.
Correct.
See, there's some people who are allergic to fancy, some people are not. Some are allergic to this, some are not. Right? But I would never tell nobody, don't take it. That is that person's personal choice. I know they have this, all these problems about seeing what affect me may not necessarily affect you. And if people are doing it because of political mischief, I think this is they don't think again. Because if you discover proof and taking it, that person might die or might spread it. Now, about this care package thing, there are some people who have been receiving packages that can do it for them. I mean, okay, I can speak for me. I need to, everybody needs. My needs might be less or greater than yours. But in all good faith, if I was given a package, I would pass it on to someone else, even if that person already received one.
Mm-hmm. You know, my knowledge of you so far tells me that even if you needed it, you would pass it on to somebody else.
Because I always say this, I'd rather suffer. I'd rather give you my last and suffer rather than keep my last and watch you suffer. I have seen in that feeding program in Bridgetown or Dunbar Court, people well-dressed in and attache cases and length taking food from those people who really need. I'm not saying that those people are going to be hungry, but I am sure that they're in a position that they can fend for themselves. This is not the time for this, because the packages that the government is offering, I'm sure, is not enough. So when you deprive someone of something, it makes the problem even greater for those who are distributing them. It puts more pressure on the system.
Mm-hmm. That way, I want to appeal to people again through you. If you don't need it, don't take it. I want to again highlight the positive where, as I said, some people didn't need it, took it, and gave it to some people more in need. And that's what we need right now in this society, you know. People need to understand how they deprive people by their actions. I know that to be human is to be greedy, to be human is to be selfish in some or many cases. But just have a heart, a spirit, thought.
Let me tell you something, right? I normally talk about things they do. My neighbor gives me one of those chocolate bags, half. Cucumber, Corey, I give away to as many people as, you know what happened? I had to end up buying cucumbers for myself. But I didn't mind. I know people who really needed them, got some of them, would have to go up to the supermarket. Mm. I'm not saying anything to make me look good. I might find the thing is, might find a bit of advice to the departments of Barbados. Listen to those who criticize you. Yes, some of the criticisms might be destructive, but listen to those who criticize you. Rather, I say you should listen to those who praise you too. But people have motives for what they do. Is you can only make things better if you listen to people's criticism. You understand where I'm coming from?
No, definitely, definitely. You see, criticism is like, I call it the weights in the mental gym. It helps to make you stronger, helps for you to reflect, because you surround yourself by yes men, yes women, only people who have that adulation and love for you. You end up like the emperor who was naked, because you will never know when you are going wrong. For me, one question, other persons are reminding me, just as a journalistic question, that you would have said that the only vaccine you're taking is a Cuban vaccine, but now the Aquarian, you're saying, no, you're not taking a vaccine at all. They want to know if that would that include the Cuban vaccine at this stage.
No, I would take, if I had to really, really choose, before the advice of my daughter, I would go for the Cuban. With the Cuban, in a realistic way, I would still...
What's the reason for that?
Huh?
What's Cuban, the reason for that?
For me, speaking for me, I can't talk for nobody else. Cuba is very advanced in medical science. You see, Cuba have been, you see, propaganda, negative propaganda, and when you get people to believe and don't see for themselves, it can be very destructive, you know. And I can use an example. It said that the late Fidel Castro was so wicked and so destructive and so inhumane, yet that late leader opened the doors of Cuba to all children. I have a nephew who's now a qualified engineer, all because of that man. And all you had to do is to get there. All you had to do is to get there. You don't have to take anything. And there's an announcer on your program can testify to that. Right? Start seeing things for yourself, because I know the propaganda that people spread is so convincing that if they tell you that you are not a man, you are a female, you will be, you start thinking. And the mere fact that you start thinking shows that you have doubt. I like the way, and I don't think the call about it, when you were asked how the kids, you said the kids are good, and the children are better.
Thank you, Mr. P. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.